Magnum PI, and Saint Elsewhere, Native Voices and Days of Our Lives, this is Jean Bruce Scott congratulating you on your excellent taste for choosing this station and podcast.
I don't know, Richard Fitzwilliams. We switch studios and suddenly it's as though the machinery has decided to actually say, oh, we'll press a different button entirely. Good morning, Richard. How are you?
Well, I'm looking forward to the greatest show on earth. That's my answer.
Well, the greatest show on earth, which is the reason we've put together this pre-Academy Awards special. We've got two fine souls in the studio. We've got Laura McCann. Good morning, Laura.
Hello.
And we've also got Laura's nan, Marina Cairns. Good morning, Marina.
Good morning.
Excellent. That's great. So you see two souls and Richard, they've never set foot in the radio station before today, so they're privileged to actually encounter such a legend as your good self from Al Jazeera, CNN and more.
Well, I have to say that it's also such fun talking on a weekend where we'll be seeing so many wonderful fashions and so many top movies, which, quite frankly, the standard overall, despite the controversies which are besetting a couple of them, standard overall is fantastic, and one statistic speaks volumes. Out of the eight they've chosen for Best Picture, and it's a very complex system that the 6,000 members of the Academy use for this, but out of those eight, only one cost more than $25 million. So by Hollywood standards, I mean, this is a triumph for the independent sector, which I think is absolutely excellent. And half of them only have grossed over $100 million. So a lot of people haven't seen these movies, but I'm surprised, since they could have gone to 10, that they didn't, simply because Foxcatcher's nominated in Best Actor, Steve Carell, and also Best Director, Bernard Miller, but it didn't make Best Picture, which is rather strange. And when you have Gone Girl and Nightcrawler and Mr. Turner and A Most Violent Year, I think you could go to 10 because there's so much that's so good around.
This is the 87th Academy Awards ceremony, of course. I noticed in the Radio Times this week, Graydon Carter, editor of Vanity Fair, quoted as saying, as far as the British contingents are concerned, these are the people who invented the English language after all, and at no time does it come so alive as when they are speaking it. They certainly do better American accents than US actors do British ones.
Yet it's interesting you're making that point, because one of the curious aspects, I mean, Selma, I saw it again this week, and I'm deeply shocked. David Oyelowo for a brilliant performance as Dr. Martin Luther King. The film, of course, is about the 1965 Selma to Montgomery Civil Rights March. The facts are that it's amazing that he didn't get nominated, but the British contingent is extraordinary. We've done terribly well at the Oscars. I mean, 10 British directors have won, about a quarter of the winners for Best Actor have been British, round about the same figure for Best Actress over many years, and most particularly in the 1960s, which was a wonderful time for British films.
And just citing that experience in the 1960s, obviously British actress won in 1961, Elizabeth Taylor, 65, it was Julie Andrews, 66, Julie Christie, Elizabeth Taylor again in 67, Maggie Smith in 1970, and Glenda Jackson in 1971. I suspect, Laurie, you haven't heard of any of those actresses, have you?
I've heard of Maggie Smith.
Heard of Maggie Smith, possibly due to Harry Potter, perhaps.
Yeah.
That's just a thought. Marina, are you a movie buff?
Oh, I like the movies, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, what about this year? I mean, before we actually go on to the notion of Boyhood versus Birdman, any particular movies that have stood out for yourself?
The Kinsman. Was it The Kinsman?
The Kingsman.
Ooh. Yeah, that was pretty good.
Well, an interesting choice, Richard. Interesting choice.
Well, certainly one that it's made a lot of money, but these movies are not the ones that Oscar's chosen to honour. There are a very large number, especially the science fiction ones. One of the quite interesting aspects of the awards is that apparently Paramount thought that Interstellar and not Selma was going to be their chief Oscar contender. So it's a magnificent film in many ways, visually.
But Richard, we know that the Academy Award people, they don't like science fiction, do they?
Oh, well, never. I mean, it's a fact. Look at the fate of Space Odyssey 2001. Mm. But they don't like or don't really go for thrillers, only a couple of one. When it comes to comedy, only about eight. This is why the Grand Budapest Hotel, nine nominations, yes, but nomination numbers and no resemblance to what's going to win Best Picture. About 8 light comedies and 4 or 5 you could broadly classify as comedy dramas, set about 13 out of 86, which, you know, isn't that number, the large number. Westerns aren't that popular either. So there's certain types, science fiction never, so there's certain types of movies the Academy don't like. But my goodness me, we can have a good indication of the sort of movies they do like, because look at the biopics. I mean, we've got Theory of Everything, we've got Imitation Game, we've got Foxcatcher, and we've got Selma. And look at the fact that the mentally challenged, if you play those roles, you've really got a far better than average chance of winning. And so Eddie Redmayne seems likely, not certain, I would add. Michael Keaton's pulling, well, the voting has ceased, but Michael Keaton is pulling out every stop. It's a close race between Eddie Redmayne and
okay.
Michael Keaton.
Okay, let's do this little game that we like to do, sort of pre-Oscars, has become an annual tradition, Richard, in which we contrast your picks and your predictions versus the Radio Times film editor. That would be Andrew Collins. And let's start off with Andrew's suggestion for Best Supporting Actress, in which he's actually gone for
Patricia Arquette.
Exactly.
Because he could only have, because we know she's going to win.
Right, so you'd actually agree with Andrew there?
Well, there are certain races so tied up that it's not even a negotiable. I mean, I can tell you that I haven't seen the list, but I mean, the best supporting actor, it's got to be J.K. Simmons, because he's won every single award going as a music teacher who's, by turns, sadistic, but also, in a weird way, inspirational. It's an extraordinary performance, and he's got that, hasn't he?
He has indeed. What
and
about
that will win for best documentary, by the way.
What's the point of watching it then, Richard? Surely, is it just for the fashion and the frocks?
Well, there is the tension, and I'm coming to that. Have a little patience, because it'll be a 3.5-hour ceremony. It won't be what happened in 2000, and that was a 4-hour, 9-minute ceremony, because ABC want a certain amount of brevity. The sort of things Oscar likes is speeches. You've got to be limited to 45 seconds. This is the 1990 rule. What Oscar likes is Joe Pesci winning for Goodfellas in 1992. He went up to the podium, gave a brief bow and said, "It's my privilege," and walked off with his Oscar. What they don't like is, in 1942, Greer Garson, winning for Mrs. Miniver, rambled idiotically on for 5.5 minutes.
5.5 minutes of rambling idiotically is not good at all.
It certainly wasn't. No, best documentary, I'm sure he's got Citizen 4 about Ed Snowden. That is going to win. And best foreign film, almost certainly, he's got Ida from Poland, Paweł Pawlikowski.
But what about his suggestion that best director might go to Alejandro González Iñárritu for his Birdman epic?
And this is best director.
Indeed.
I think it will be Richard Linklater for Boyhood, because it was such a unique concept. It's up to the Directors Guild to nominate the 5 who are chosen as the nominees, but then everyone votes for Best Director. And it is between Alejandro González Iñárritu, and of course it's his third. Amores Perros was nominated for Best Foreign Language Film, and so was Babel. And I thought both were excellent. It could be. I mean, it'll be either him or Richard Linklater, but because Boyhood was such a unique concept, filming adolescents over 12 years with the same cast meeting every year to be filmed as part of this odyssey of adolescence, I think it will be Linklater, but it will be one or the other.
Okay, well, that's the one sort of slight change we've got. Best actor, I think you both agreed on Eddie Redmayne.
Eddie Redmayne, yes, but just with a rider that perhaps to stir interest in the ceremony, Michael Keaton's in contention, emphatically still in contention, but I'm sure it will be Redmayne, because it's a brilliant performance. I mean, it's very reminiscent, of course, of Daniel Day-Lewis's My Left Foot. And best actress, Julianne Moore's What He's Got There, I know, I'm sure. No one's would put anything else.
And I think we're agreed it's Boyhood for Best Picture.
I think we are agreed it's Boyhood for Best Picture, but again, there's a certain excitement, because Birdman, having won at the actors, the producers and directors' guilds, that's about a third plus of all these 6,000 votes. So it has a chance. I'm sure it will be Boyhood. And wonderful that two, Boyhood was from Sundance, as Whiplash, which J.K. Simmons acted in so brilliantly, was. And it's wonderful to see movies of the sort, low budget, but so talented in competition. But yes, I think broadly those are the predictions that most people are thinking of. I mean, best original screenplay, we probably, again, there'll be Birdman, best adapted, could it be Whiplash, best musical, best song from Selma, best costume, Grand Budapest. And you can
okay, Richard, hold it there. We're going to take a short break, then we're going to come back to you with one or two slight controversial aspects. Plus, we'll get your advice on what a youngster who's seeking to actually pursue her silver Duke of Edinburgh Award in communications is likely to be faced with, or indeed the sort of goodness and positivity of that. Always good to seek advice from an Al Jazeera CNN correspondent and former internet editor of International Who's Who, methinks.
Most kind.
Parkville is a purpose-built residential care centre situated at the heart of Middlesbrough and providing personalised care in a modern and homely environment. Parkville aims to help older people to continue to live independent and active lives within the wider community whilst benefiting from the care and support of an experienced and dedicated team of nursing and care staff. At Parkville, we provide facilities to accommodate residential elderly and residential EMI service users. To find out more, please telephone 01642 223334. That's 01642 223334. Parkville Care Centre. Care to call us home.
Strokes affect 130,000 people in England and Wales each year. Here's a recipe that can dramatically decrease your chances of strokes.
Excellent. I better get a pen.
167 grams of calcium, 245 grams of magnesium, 3
grams of zinc. Hang on, slow down.
Remember, any more than one tablespoon could kill you. Any less than one tablespoon could kill you.
Right,
and that's the recipe.
Oh,
if you would like a more simple solution, you can always call Pharma Nord on 01670 519989.
All right,
or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
Let me see if I can jot that down. What was the number again?
01670 519989, or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
And how do you spell Pharma Nord, I wonder?
pharmanord.co.uk.
It's almost as if I'm having a conversation with the radio.
Don't be silly, that's impossible.
Pharma Nord, winning the war of nutrition.
You're listening to a Southside Broadcasting podcast. Southside Broadcasting is a media company which aims to provide a wide range of features from the rural, health and lifestyle worlds. You can regularly listen to entertaining podcasts with interviews and correspondents from Los Angeles, Nashville, New York and London. You can take part in our Book of the Month features, grab some great nutritional advice, enjoy broadcasts from the Great Yorkshire Show, the Lincolnshire Show, and enjoy local football reviews with our regular feature, Fly Me to the Moon. You can even hear a BAFTA award-winning director drive a train full of teddy bears. You can listen to these and many more podcasts at southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. For further information on how you can join over 35,000 people who regularly download our podcasts, call us on 01642 854 742 or email info@southsidebroadcasting.com now.
And from the Department of, I love this quote, directly from your good self, of course, Richard, Michael Moore's controversy over the criticisms he's put forward for Clint Eastwood's American Sniper, in which you say, no, I didn't notice the baby was plastic.
Yes, well, apparently there was a plastic baby used in the
no.
movie, which, yes, apparently so. No, I haven't noticed, no, indeed I didn't.
Plastic babies?
Yes, it was, and apparently Bradley Cooper's attempt to make it live has caused a great deal of merriment. I mean, I didn't realise this, but it's had a... There's a lot of fun about this online, and various commentators. A lot of people don't like American Sniper. No one's disputing that 84-year-old Clint Eastwood has filmed the action scenes absolutely superbly. It's about the most successful American Sniper ever, and the facts are Chris Kyle was very much a legend, and those who admired him. But the problem is it is a jingoistic movie, the difficulty being not that it depicts inaccurately, but that it doesn't explain or indeed even begin to discuss why America troops are in Iraq. And climactically, there's a lot of flag waving. I do think that this is the movie which has made a fortune. I mean, I've seen over $300 million it's made so far, and that was yesterday. I happened to see the figure, $350 million plus. This is just phenomenal. I mean, the opening weekend was just amazing. So it's tapped into something which, unlike almost all the others, Grand Budapest Hotel make a lot of money, but this is amazing. Hollywood won't award it Best Picture, or indeed, I suspect, a victory other than the technical category or two, but there are those who suggest it might. The whole point is, of course, to get a bit of excitement moving in, you know, that you don't really know. Because remember, Crash beat Brokeback Mountain against all predictions, and remember, Saving Private Ryan was defeated against all predictions by a brilliant Harvey Weinstein campaign to promote Shakespeare in Love. But American Sniper Michael Moore has fulminated against, and not only him, equally, it is a very well-made movie, but should Bradley Cooper have been in the Best Actor category and David Yellower's Martin Luther King left out? No.
Let's just do a little straw poll in the studio. We'll go to Laura first. Laura, the fact that this picture wins an Academy Award or is nominated for an Academy Award, does that have any impact whatsoever on your desire to see it or watch it on DVD or any sort of line? Does it impact on your own choice? Yes or no will suffice.
I would say yes.
Yeah. Marina?
Well, I've seen it and I quite enjoyed the film, but
that's American Sniper.
Yeah. But I think it makes you think about all the things that's going on in the world, you know, and brings it all up to the fore, doesn't it?
And what about the fact that it's been nominated? Does that have an impact on whether you choose to go and see a film?
No. I would go if I've really thought I would like to see it. So I wouldn't listen to any of that.
It's almost a traditional Scottish answer, it's a fact in many ways. Yeah, it makes no difference whatsoever.
That's right.
Well, you mean the big difference, if a film wins, there have been the odd exception, both the occasional performer like Louise Rayner, who won two Oscars for those in the 1930s, and her career crumbled thereafter because Oscar hadn't established itself. But almost invariably, a movie that wins will do meteorically well. Nomination will help enormously, and it always will be with the movie, whether it's being re-released or shown on DVD or on television again and so on. Oscar winner, Oscar nominee. So it really does mean something.
Okay, so point is made. Laura, a brief biography of yourself, just so we can provide Richard with a few key points that he can follow up the interview with. You're currently in your year 11 at Conyers in Yarm.
Right.
Okay, and you're studying what subjects at GCSE level?
Well, I'm studying history, geography and music, and I've got all my compulsory subjects as well, so we've got maths, English, French, German.
Are you one of the lucky generation who have exams, full exams for this kind of thing, or do you still have coursework?
I still have coursework in some of my subjects. I think from next year it will be all exams.
Okay, so you've come along to Southside Broadcasting today partly because of your stepmum Ruth Cull, of course, works at Middlesbrough Library Services and suggests us. And what's the intention? Why are you actually here and you've reached this stage that many people actually kill for the opportunity to speak directly and one-on-one with Richard Fitzwilliams?
Well, a career in media and communications, broadcasting, publishing, it's something I'd be really interested in. As someone who's interested in languages and seeing what's going on internationally, nationally, locally.
Okay.
Well, it's a challenging idea, and certainly one that would bring you a tremendous amount of pleasure if you were able to succeed in this, because obviously media and communications, I mean, it's tremendously competitive for obvious reasons. But if you want to comment on or have links with that which is going on nationally and internationally. If you're looking perhaps for a public relations angle, which always could come with the communications aspect of it, I mean, it's very challenging. So it's a marvellous ambition. Good luck.
Thank you.
In fact, if you look over my shoulder there, you can see February 2015, there is Richard Fitzwilliams on one of our location reports there, sitting just next to Ed Wellman, Katie Grimerson, and Rachel Warren.
At the National Theatre, a very happy occasion.
Exactly, on one of our London location reports. It's time we actually did another one, Richard. So,
it is indeed, I think it's a marvellous idea.
Yeah, we shall get that sorted out before too long. Richard, I think it's fair to say it's probably going to be an honourable draw between yourself and Andrew Collins from the Radio Times, because there's very little sort of change in terms of controversy as far as elections for the Oscars are concerned. But I take it you've had a reasonably interesting telephonic Oscar-type preview on the show this morning.
I think it's a super idea, absolutely. And I'm longing to see also, it is a fashion fest too. And I mean, there have been horrors such as Bjork as a Swan or Angela.
What was wrong with Bjork as a Swan then?
Have a look online and see how long you can look at it without turning away, turned to stone. I mean, Angelina Jolie as Morticia Adams was strange. Cher's Bob Mackie outfit of 1988 is notorious. So, I mean, I have to say that in the BAFTAs, Rosalind Pike, who's also nominated, of course, as Best Actress for Gone Girl at the Oscars, as she was at the BAFTAs, she appeared in a very strange outfit. It looked to me as though it was some sort of straight jacket. Good Lord, I mean, it's an award ceremony she's going to, not a house.
I'm showing the team that Bjork is a swan there. What's wrong with Bjork as a swan? I mean, should he, I mean, isn't that regulation uniform for Conyers on a regular basis, surely?
Not quite.
Mind you, Bjork does look a little bit surprised, but, you know.
You've got the fabulous gowns out. That's what I'm longing to see. What is Julia Roberts going to wear? I'm looking at Lea Seydoux in canary yellow at the BAFTAs. Look at Amy Adams with a classical look. What's Keira going to wear? She's looked gorgeous at the BAFTAs, at the Oscars before, and at the BAFTAs.
Will Keira be there? I thought she was about to give birth to a child.
Well, I think you find that if you're
nominated, as opposed to the swan,
she's nominated as the substantial British contingent, of course,
indeed,
so often is, for the Imitation Game.
I'm still shocked, Richard, she didn't get nominations for the fabulous work she did in Domino, but that was a few years ago, obviously.
That is more unkind than even I would ever be.
Well, there you go. So, Marina, would you be sort of tuning to the Oscars for the frocks and the overall?
Yes, I'd be interested to see what they're wearing. It's nice to see them in the long dresses.
Still not sure it's the greatest show on earth, though. I still don't know why.
Can you think of a competitor?
Well, it's the Super Bowl.
A show of its sort. Award ceremony.
Well,
it's the first. It's the greatest.
Okay, and what about yourself, Laura? Presumably, with it being a school night Sunday, you probably won't be able to stay up too late for the whole thing, will you?
Maybe not.
No, there we are. There you have it, Richard. Excellent stuff. Fantastic joining. Of course, Thursday morning, it'll all die down by there. What's your schedule? Because, of course, you've started your previews for the likes of CNN and various other factors. I mean, what's the general schedule for the Fitzwilliams media link over the next few days and so on?
Yes, I have actually previewed it already for CNN, and they've just booked me for comment just after the ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
I've been doing New Zealand television, Sarai's television, a variety of radio programs. I've been there, including BBC Wales is one of them, and a variety of local radios, and also Talk Radio Europe in Spain, and others still to come, because a large number of spots, as you know, are booked at very short notice. So whether I'll repeat last year, Sky and Al Jazeera, we'll have to see. But I'm keeping all the times free, and of course I'm watching overnight, so that means what sleep can be got will be got on Sunday afternoon.
Well, there we have it. We will see you on Thursday morning for your regular 8:15 slot on Siren 107.3 FM, our sister station for Southside Broadcasting. I take it you will return, Richard?
I look forward to it enormously.
Blockhead. The fastest and most effective way to get a boost wherever and whenever you need it. Whether you're racing to beat a deadline, cross any finishing line, or just looking for an edge, Blockhead is the convenient and reliable option for everyone. Blockhead was developed by Danny Lowe, a 21-year-old sports scientist and multidiscipline athlete who came up with the idea while in his second year at university. he began developing Blockhead in order to make energy easy for everyone. So performance boosts and cognition enhancement is only a chew away. Blockhead Energy Gum.
The don't do love letters. But if they did...
Dear you, you know I love you, and I know you love me. I also know I'm impossible to live with sometimes. I know I let you down. I know I send you home feeling sad sometimes, but I just want you to know that if I didn't have you, I would be nothing. I'd never do anything to hurt you, and I try my best to make you happy every week. Please come back. You know we need each other, now more than ever.
All from Airwolf, Magnum PI, and Saint Elsewhere, Native Voices and Days of Our Lives, this is Jean Bruce Scott congratulating you on your excellent taste for choosing this station and podcast.
Parkville is a purpose-built residential care centre situated at the heart of Middlesbrough and providing personalised care in a modern and homely environment. Parkville aims to help older people to continue to live independent and active lives within the wider community, whilst benefiting from the care and support of an experienced and dedicated team of nursing and care staff. At Parkville, we provide facilities to accommodate elderly residential and nursing service users. To find out more, please telephone 01642 223334 or visit our website at parkvillecarecentre.com. Parkville Care Centre. Care to call us home.
With a high-spec accommodation, all with ensuite facilities and high-quality care for residents provided 24/7 by qualified nurses and carers, Roseville Care Centre provides the perfect home for its residents' emotional, spiritual, social, physical and intellectual needs.
A purpose-built residential care facility in the heart of Ingleby Barwick, Roseville is a care centre which provides facilities to accommodate residential nursing and dementia service users, offering both short and long stay accommodation, as well as respite and daycare.
To find out more, please telephone 01642 30 81 88 or email us at roseville@prestigegroup.uk.com.
Roseville Care Centre. Care to call us home. This is Southside Broadcasting, Channel 1 for Patient Line, as far as the fabulous James Cook University Hospital is concerned. Also, of course, southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com, which is where I think most of our listeners are based these days. And after the Oscar preview of Richard Fitzwilliams, where else can we go than to a director who one day will pick up an Oscar? He's already picked up a BAFTA, so I'm sure the Oscar will be there once he gets his motion picture thing sorted out. Isn't that right, ace BAFTA award-winning director Graham Harper?
I wish I could be so lucky.
Oh, it'll happen. If Richard Linklater can do a movie over 11 years and be up for Boyhood, then, you know, what's the longest shoot you've ever done? Because obviously Boyhood was filmed over an 11-year period. So, you know, ever sort of said this episode of Casualty, I think it needs to be more than just 6 weeks or 2 weeks. Or three. It needs to be like 6 years.
No, I did, when I did, the train crash week, as it were, for Hollyoaks last year, and what was meant to be like a 10-week shoot ended up by being about 22, it was not a 22-week shoot, but 22-week commitment from me, as it were. That did go on for a long time, but it was big, it was a massive enterprise for them to be doing, with all the comings and goings and crossovers of all the artists doing all the normal shows that they do for Hollyoaks, would then fit it into this big extravaganza. And it was just a scheduling nightmare. But one that was really worth it, because I think they pulled it off, or we all pulled it off.
It was
a long time, yeah.
What a way for Gemma Murner to leave the series.
Oh, she was a sweetheart. She was such a nice woman. I do hope her career takes off.
Well, there's always a role on the Midweek Drive, Midweek Drive Morning Edition, if she's up for it, Graham, you know. Anyway,
I don't know well enough to be able to approach them.
No worries, no worries. We'll carry on.
Sorry, listeners, but I'm sure we'll do something about that.
Well, listen, we've got one of the stars of the 25th anniversary tour of Return to the Forbidden Planet joining us on Wednesday. So, you know, so it's all good with the world. So that would be Sarah Scowan. Anyway, moving on. In the studio, we have Laura McCann and her nan, who is, I'm using the sort of northern term there, but background, by the way, Nan, as opposed to grandmother, which is, but, you know, Nan's like, that'd be Marina Cairns. And Marina, as you may have gathered from my attempt to do a fake Scottish accent there, is indeed Scottish.
Yes.
Which
hello,
part is
Marina.
Yes, hiya, Ayrshire.
Oh, so proper Scottish then.
Yes.
what's not proper Scottish?
Well, I don't know. There has been suggestions that Edinburgh aren't really proper Scots.
I don't think you should say that.
and dare I ask, I know we'll be soon heading into the period of purdah for the election campaign, but let's go back to last year. Were you in favour of independence or not so? Are you a Nicola Sturgeon fan or not?
I've lived in England so long.
And you still haven't civilised us?
No.
Amazing.
I don't really take it in to do with Scottish.
Well, there we are. That's right. Although she is wearing a tartan scarf.
Oh, yes, I am.
As you'll see on Facebook in a few moments. Anyway, we've also got Laura McCann. Laura, who is in the... it's not final year because it's GCSE year. So you're in 15, 16?
16. In the 5th year.
16 years of age and astoundingly wants to actually do her Duke of Edinburgh Silver Award, which is the communications badge, is it? Or what's the... What does the Duke of Edinburgh Silver Award entail?
Well, there are four sections, so you've got your expedition, skills, volunteering and physical.
Mm-hmm.
So for physical, you have to do some sort of sport or exercise.
Right, makes sense.
For expedition, we have an expedition.
Yeah.
So camping for 3 days, yeah. No mobile phones.
Yeah.
And for volunteering, you have to do something charitable to help the community. Mm. So I thought, working on a hospital radio is really charitable.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on. So great stuff there. Of course, we could actually combine the physical with Manila. I say Manila. Of course, it's now Team Watt Cycle and Tony McDonald's fabulous cycling with On Your Bike. So you might, do you cycle much?
I wish I cycled more.
Well, then I think we can sort that one out very rapidly. So we'll be working through that. Is somebody on the phone, Graham? Is that a doorbell?
No, it's nothing to do with me.
Oh, right. Oh, fair enough. So I was just dingling away in all sorts of ways. So don't worry. It's okay. It's just people phoning up the Cairns family to say, are you still alive? Where are you? Yes, what's happening? What's going on there? Graham, we've worked together since before Laura was born. A long time since before Laura was born, actually. In fact, we've worked together nearly twice as long as she's been on the planet Earth. But apart from that, what sort of advice would you give Laura? I mean, would you like to question her and find out what she wants to do? What sort of things
What exactly are you trying to set yourself up to do?
I'm trying to set up for a career in media, broadcasting, publishing, that sort of thing.
When you say publishing, do you mean publishing books?
Yeah, I do. I like to read a lot, so books are possibly magazine publication, that sort of thing.
That's interesting. Is that where you're going to study? You're going to university for, or are you not going to go?
Well, I think I'll do English at university.
Oh, right.
Any thoughts about which sixth form you're going on to? Will you stay with Conyers?
Yeah, I'm staying with Conyers because I'd like to do German, and that's the only place for German, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Ask a Zeichnet. Anyway, slip that little bit of European German in there. Was man nicht übrigt, macht man starker, as Nietzsche once said. What doesn't destroy one makes one stronger. Actually, I forgot to mention that, of course. Laura, are you a Hollyoaks fan?
I've seen a bit of Hollyoaks.
Did you see the train crash?
I didn't see the train crash, no.
It's available on YouTube, no doubt. There's other bits and pieces. And you've just finished off Casualty recently, Graham, so you're taking a wee bit of time to relax and unwind, I take it.
I am. In fact, we'll come back to Laura. I haven't finished with her yet.
Yeah, sure.
But I've decided to cut down on all my work because I want to spend more time with my other half. And I'm getting an old git.
No.
But unfortunately, I can't resist. I still like directing. I like making shows. So I've been offered a Walt Disney series for television.
Yes.
With Lime Pictures, who make Hollyoaks, but they also make other things. And I'm going to be doing not all of it. I'm doing one block of four episodes of a really, really delightful science fiction-y kind of not fiction-y, spooky kind of creepy series called Evermore. Lovely. but I won't be doing that till July for a couple of months.
Time to fit in the Telefantasy and Society Conference at the University of Lincoln on May the 6th, and indeed a tour of Pinewood Studios, I think.
I've been nabbled, haven't I?
Oh, that's important. Evermore as opposed to Nevermore, of course. That's important.
But that's, that's something really nice to look forward to. I've just finished Casualty, and that was a lot of fun. Really, really good, good stuff, yeah.
Okay, Graham, the interview is still yours, and Marina's left the studio now to deal with the telephone call. Or maybe she's just been so ashamed with her granddaughter, she's walked off and said, I can't face it anymore. It's over to you.
Surely not. So, Laura, if you went into broadcasting, would that be radio or television, or both?
Both.
And in what way? What are you thinking? What kind of things do you want to do?
Well, I do like the sound of journalism, TV journalism.
Oh, right, yeah.
Maybe.
In anything, political, fashion, what kind of thing? What are you interested in?
Well, I think definitely more political than fashion.
Yes, I detected a slight sort of, not a sneer as such, but a concern when Richard Fitzwilliams was talking about the frocks at the Oscar show. I think it's, you know, it's just...
A sneer? Do you not like the Oscars? Do you think it's a bit of, it's all over the top, isn't it?
I do like the Oscars, but I think I prefer the films to what dresses they're wearing.
I totally agree. The thing for me about the Oscars... is the industry, Hollywood industry, saying hello and patting itself on the back, and sometimes the wrong people really win. But I have a feeling this year it's going to be, I don't know about Eddie Redmayne or whatever, I'm not sure about the Brits, I'm sure he's going to walk all over everybody and it's going to be wonderful. I like Julianne Moore and what she's, looks like she's achieving this year. I hope she wins because I think she's a seriously good actress. And I find the rest of it is just nonsense. I'm talking about the all the pomp and circumstance of it, and the dresses and the red carpet. I mean, I know they've all got to be seen and promote themselves and promote every movie and whatever, but we really are... Celebrity really is diminished for me to sometimes zilch. Not with the Oscars, because they've all worked very hard to do fantastic things, but some of it's a bit, I find it all a bit, are we really that desperately interested? No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm waffling on.
No, harsh but fair. Marina's come back. Have you sorted it out?
You should ask Marina what she thinks.
We have. You know, all sorted through. It's a mixture between American Sniper and Kingsman. She likes, obviously, her guns and shooty-outs things, basically.
I think she's right. I love action adventure. I think that's... but that's not everything. Of course, you've got to cover for everybody, and a lot of people don't like that, so... I'm afraid it's going to be the very more emotional stuff. Definitely this year, I think the big emotional heart. Actually, I'm talking about every Oscar, aren't I?
As long as you don't burst down into tears and then sort of weep with kind of Gwyneth Paltrow-esque joy at having sort of received the whole package. But that's why they've restricted the timing, I think, to a matter of seconds as opposed to 5.5 minutes. So there we are.
Did you all watch EastEnders this week?
The live version of EastEnders, you mean, that went live, that actually sort of was live to actually reveal that it was live acting and they weren't making too many mistakes because it was live? No. what about yourself, Laura? Were you an EastEnders fan? Did you catch the tribute, the 30th anniversary? Is it 30 or 40? 30th
anniversary, yeah. Yeah.
No.
I'm actually pleased you said that. It was actually really good. It was a good week for EastEnders. They really, to pull that off was quite a feat. And that was a real struggle and brilliant. And because of all the crossovers of all the other, you know, the other stuff being made, because the live thing, you have to rehearse, obviously, and build up to your live week. But during that time, you're also, all the artists are also doing all the episodes for the next 7 or 8 weeks, which are all recorded. So that's a massive scheduling thing for them to have pulled it off, and you know, because of the rehearsals they all need, and they've got to be fairly close to the transmission, obviously, the rehearsals. So that must have been a huge commitment for EastEnders. But what I found was, I loved the show. I'm not an avid EastEnders watcher, but my wife is. She watches every episode.
She is French, Graham. That's the reason why. You know, Bernadette, I'm sure, thinks that EastEnders is like a cultural snapshot of le roast beef in action.
I'll tell her that.
Yeah.
But not now. So I loved it. What killed it for me, and I still watched it, so therefore they have an argument for doing it, was this sudden, and this is why I'm coming back to the journalism side of asking you a question. We had Zoe Ball and another young interviewer who I didn't know, and I didn't know his name, who suddenly were on the set as the show finished and said, as everybody was walking off to go to the pub to have a drink or whatever and say, wasn't that brilliant to themselves, because they needed to pat themselves on the back. Suddenly they were there saying, oh, tell us all about it, what did you were emotionally brilliant in this and blah, 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 and that was stunning and we were all, and we suddenly had this, this big interview sequence, both on the square and Albert Square and also in a bar, what looked like a makeup bar somewhere, and a little section of Mastermind with three of the artists, seeing who knows what about the 30 years of EastEnders. And I think they killed the wonderful moment that we just watched. Why? But of course I did watch it, so there, and I also changed to Channel 3, BBC 3, to watch the rest of this silly thing that happened. I know it needs to be, they need to be applauded, but that felt a bit, they always overdo everything, don't they? I've stopped.
If memory serves, weren't you responsible for a live edition of Coronation Street or EastEnders a few years ago, Graham?
No.
Oh, right.
I would never, ever, I take my hat off to anyone who wants to and can do a live programme. Not one episode, this was five days. It was absolutely stunning to do that, to achieve that. It's quite an extraordinary thing. Well, we used to do that, obviously. We used to be live up until about 1970. Kind of thing. I mean, there was a lot of live television up till 68, 70. So it was the norm. But then they weren't making and pre-recording loads and loads of other episodes for the future. You know, it was concentrated on doing that as live. So I think in this day and age, it is quite a tribute to them. But I did three episodes of Coronation Street, which included the big tram crash sequence in it, but it was all recorded. There was one director who did five episodes, and one of those was the one hour live.
I knew that it surrounded it somewhere. Do you remember the tram crash in Coronation Street?
Yeah, I did actually watch that one.
Speaking to the man who actually directed it, in fact, the gentleman who, if I hold up this little photograph here, was indeed the director who drives a train full of teddy bears. He's actually just... he's pointing to the camera there. There we are. It's of our Southside team there. Exactly.
That's celebrity for you.
It was that one actually driving tanks in Scarborough.
Now that was serious.
Exactly, it was quite right for you. Would you like to hear Laura's first choice of music, Graham? Because I mean, she's now actually done 45 minutes of the show, hasn't complained once, even though we said as a. Would you like, you know, musical choice? Lots of music. Give me some examples. I said, well, Florence and the Machine came out, a couple of Florence and the Machine titles. No, rejected them. John Newman came out with one John Newman title. Are you ready for this?
Yeah,
Graham?
Go on then.
It's John Newman. And not, I suspect, a comment on the quality of the host or indeed co-presenters of the programmes out of my head. Curious little statement made whilst doing that. I was showing some of the photographs of your good self clutching teddy bears, Graham, and the comment was made by one of our co-presenters. Oh, you sound a lot younger than you look on that photograph.
Oh, sorry.
No. Oh, it's a particularly trying day. When he was there, it was a few years ago, yeah.
I've never left 23, to be honest. No. I've never grown up. Yeah. I think that's the complaint that most people in
I think 23 is a fairly standard sort of time. We've also found out that Laura can play the clarinet, can sing, can do a whole heap of other goodies. And what are your sports? What are your favourite sports?
I like netball.
Oh, right.
I used to do ballet.
Oh, I thought you were going to say skeleton.
Skeleton.
That's the, what do you call it? I don't know, it's when you go down on a tin tray down around a very fast ice track.
Right. Yeah, you know? I don't think she does that, actually.
I thought that was coming. Yeah. I like the idea of clarinet. I think that's brilliant. Yeah. That's really, really smashing.
Jessica Ward, one of our New Zealand correspondents from the Isle of Man. She's a keen netball player, and team won last week, which is great news. So, Graham, any other sort of questions you'd like to put to either Marina or to Laura about life, the universe, Duke of Edinburgh Awards, or maybe how they found their first ever 48 minutes and 10 seconds of life in the Southside studio?
Well, I can ask that, because I think that will be a good one. Have you enjoyed it? Are you enjoying being on?
Yeah, it's great. I've never been in a radio station before, so all a new experience.
Marina, you must have done.
Well, it's totally unexpected. I was only coming to bring Laura to the hospital for her interview, so...
Oh, that's brilliant.
So, I'm really...
Always critical that the bodyguards are put on there as
down,
well.
Really.
Otherwise, who knows? That doesn't happen. Scottish people are congenitally incapable of being struck down.
Oh, no, they live for... Scots people live till 110, 120. So,
is that right?
Yeah. It is if you like whiskey. If you don't drink whiskey in your tea, you won't.
Oh, no, that's whiskey in the porridge.
Yeah, oh, porridge, oh, even better. Do either of you, all three of you, watch both Strictly? I'm a complete sucker for Strictly Come Dancing and The Voice.
Oh, yes, the trouble
with The Voice, and then I'm going to listen to you, but the trouble for me with The Voice is, what happens to the person? I can't remember the person who won last year, and I can't remember, and I don't know whether they've actually had any success.
I don't know.
Which is odd, because the X Factor does. They seem to go on. I was saying that, thinking that because of John Newman, who... Did he not win a big X Factor or something like that before which launched his career? I can't remember.
I don't
think he was ever on the X Factor, I'm not sure.
I can't remember now, but... just to digress... He says a line in that song, which is, made love to many women, or slept with many women, he said, and then he made a comment in the song, but it sounded like Tom Jones going, yeah! he said, I've slept with many women, diddly-diddy, yeah! Which I thought was a bit cheeky.
Bit offensive.
That's Tom Jones, right?
Although arguably he was out of his head when he wrote it, club mix.
So, I'll ask you a question. Do you love those shows, as well as asking both of you, all three of you?
Well, I love Strictly Come Dancing. I'd love to dance like that. Well, it's always been an ambition of mine to be able to dance.
And you should fulfil that, Marina.
The American Glide.
any of them, all three.
My little sister Julia, she loves Strictly Come Dancing. She's had her mum actually make her a flapper dress.
A flapper dress, yes.
Yeah.
It's not a flapping dress.
How brilliant. I think, for me, that is proper. And I love The Voice, because amongst some people who are not that great, there are some absolutely brilliant talent. Proper talent. I think it's wonderful.
Yeah, I think the good thing about The Voice is that on The X Factor, it's definitely about the entertainment. There are so many people who are terrible. Sometimes in the auditions, you think, this must be a joke. But in The Voice, it is actually about the talent. It's not about who's the best dancer or whatever. It is about The Voice. And I think that's the best thing.
It is. I never... It's not because I'm stupid. Until last week, I never really understood why they had their backs to them. The stupid man.
Yeah.
But of course... Because that's the way, you don't worry about the way they look and all that, which can sell a song. You have to, it is about the voice. And I found that extraordinary. And then when they turn around and get the shock of their lives, it's brilliant. But I actually enjoy that. And also, I like to see a huge mix of people who look in all sorts of looks or have all sorts of looks competing with each other, because it is about the voice, and I think we are swayed by the way people look and fashion and whatever.
That's exactly what Nick Clegg always said. Anyway, I'm sure he secretly always wanted to be a singer, but never mind.
I'd like to see him doing American Glory. That would be quite fun.
It's a thought. Graham, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
It's been smashing. I'm sorry I didn't let you speak much more.
That's quite all right. Are you able to join us on Thursday morning around about 9:15 or 9 a.m. or that sort of time slot?
I can be, because I'm a looser man.
Steady. That's important. Excellent. You'll return there. You can listen to that, obviously, at sirenonline.co.uk live. And Laura, you enjoyed your first show with us?
I have, definitely.
Good. And Marina, yourself?
Yes. Could I come back next week?
You can run it.
Forward women, these Scottish folk. We're timorous beastie. Sorry. We've crossed the Robert Burns. Graham technically is Scottish, by the way, although Inverness, you can't get, well, Ayrshire, obviously, you can get more Scottish than Inverness. Don't start a war between the clans. It was going so well until the 51st minute of the show.
That's been going for a long time.
Absolutely. Graham Harper will return.
From Airwolf, Magnum PI, and Saint Elsewhere, Native Voices and Days of Our Lives, this is Jean Bruce Scott congratulating you on your excellent taste for choosing this station and podcast.